at home. We welcome you this morning. And I'm Rabbi Joe. This is Rebbitz and Dawn.
Hello.
And lovely Diane over here. And lovely Anthony over to my left. And I guess I'm lovely too, but...
Lovely Rabbi.
Lovely Rabbi. We're glad you're with us today, and I hope you're ready to worship the Lord, because that's what we're here to do. So let's enter in. We're going to go to the Lord's table a little bit later, so if you have some crackers or matzah or grape juice, you want to get that together, then you can join us as we go to the Lord's table. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. We're going to bless the Messiah. We're going to bring him a blessing, and he's going to bless us today. We'll have a sacrifice of praise and worship and offering unto him of our time today. So, Baruch Hata Adonai Eloheinu Melech Haolam, Asher Natan Lanu Et Dorech HaYeshua B'Mashiach, Yeshua Amen. Blessed are you, O Lord our God, King of the universe, who has given us the way of salvation in Messiah Yeshua. Amen.
Prostrate myself and bow, bend the knee before the Lord my Maker. And as for me, may my prayers to you, O Lord, be at the right time. O God, in your abundant righteousness, answer me with the truth of your salvation.
Let's do the Vishamru, page 45 in your Siddurs, and also on the screen. Vishamru v'nei Yisrael
et ha-shabbat lasot et ha-shabbat ledorotam berit olam. Vishamru v'nei Yisrael et ha-shabbat lasot et ha-shabbat ledorotam berit olam. B'nei 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 Yisrael, b'nei Yisrael, hold he yolam. V'shamru b'nei Yisrael et ha-shabbat lasot et ha-shabbat ledorotam berit olam. Ki sheshet yamim asah Adonai, hashmayim v'et haaretz. V'shamru b'nei Yisrael et ha-shabbat La sod et ha shabbat le doro tambari dolam. Yashvi shabbat vina fash. Shabbat vina fash. Shabbat vina fash. Vishamru vene Yisrael et ha shabbat. La sod et ha shabbat le doro tambari dolam.
The children of Israel shall keep the Shabbat, observing it throughout their generations as an everlasting covenant. It is a sign between me and the children of Israel forever. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, and on the seventh day he rested and was refreshed. And it shall come to pass that from one new moon to another, and from one Shabbat to another, all flesh shall come to worship before me, says the Lord.
Amen.
Pray for Jerusalem, that there'll be peace again. The Lord will prosper them that love her. And for the sake of the hands of the Lord our God, we say to Jerusalem, Shalom Aleichem. Pray for Jerusalem, that there'll be peace, not war. For God will bless them that love her. So for the sake of the city of Jerusalem, Shalom Aleichem. Peace be unto you, Shalom Aleichem. These words we pray for you, Shalom Aleichem. Peace be unto you.
Our Father who art in heaven, we just lift up Yerushalayim, Shel Zahav, Jerusalem of gold. We thank you, Lord, that they shall prosper who love thee. We love Jerusalem, Lord. Prosper us. Prosper us, O Lord. We pray, Shalu Shalom, Yerushalayim. We pray for the peace of Jerusalem, Lord. Pray for the coming return of the Messiah to establish Shalom, peace in Jerusalem, Lord. In every heart, and it end all war and beat all swords into plowshares. Thank you, Lord. Pray for the salvation of the Jewish people, Lord. Lord, pray, Lord, for the people of Israel, that you remove the blinders from their eyes, Lord, that they would see their Messiah, Lord, they would have revelations, and they would see you in traffic driving. You would appear to them, and like you did the disciples on the road to Emmaus, that they would know instantly who you are and believe. Lord, I pray that you would defeat Israel's enemies, Lord. Even though we know that what the word says, we just pray for you temper judgment with mercy, and that you would reveal the schemes of the enemies, of their enemies, shine a light on their plans. Let their knives fall on the ground. Let their guns jam. Let their rockets blow up on the launch pad and fall in the desert. Lord, let their cars stall when they try to hit people. I pray, Lord, in the name of Yeshua, Lord, every time they attack us, Lord, let them be caught and let them be jailed, or whatever. But we just thank you, Lord, that you watch over your people. We pray for the Messianic community here in America, Lord. I just pray for our leaders. I pray for Joel Chernoff, the executive committee, and the steering committee, Lord. I just pray for your guidance, that you would guide them in truth, and spirit and truth, and righteousness, Lord. Guide them in righteousness. Expose anything that's not of you in our leadership, Lord. Shine a light and expose anything that's not of you and remove it, Lord. And lead us in paths. I pray for the rabbis, that each one also that would walk in righteous paths, leading their flocks in truth and in the way you would have them, Lord, powerfully and prophetically, Lord. And that those who are not of you, Lord, remove them. Remove the false shepherds, if there be any, Lord. Remove them. And we just give you the praise, Lord. I pray for the salvation of the people in the exile, the Jewish people, that you remove the blinders from their eyes, that they too would begin to see their Messiah and know that Yeshua is Lord. I pray for my mom. I just pray you help her to breathe. I pray, Lord, that you help her strengthen her heart. I pray, Lord, as I prepare to go for my niece's wedding, that she's that everything goes well and that she's strong, and just give her a burst of strength and breath, and a call to the four winds to breathe on Harriet and help her, Lord. And I thank you, Lord, for that this joyous occasion that we're going to celebrate. And I pray that you let me go. Pray that you give me the chance to go. I ask for that opportunity to go to my niece's wedding. And pray for everyone here, Lord, anyone with sickness who's struggling today. If you're struggling, if you have sickness, just raise your hand. Hallelujah. Just pray for all those who raise their hands, Lord. We lift them up to you in the name of Yeshua. You know their needs. And just touch them now. Touch each one. Touch Earl, touch Charlie, touch Ray, touch Aja right now, from their heads to their toes. Touch their bodies. Heal them. Heal. And touch me as well, Lord. In the name of Yeshua. Thank you, Lord. Anyone else raise their hand that I didn't see? Gene. Yeah, heal Gene, Lord. You know what's going on with Gene. So touch Gene's body, Lord, and restore her to health, Lord. Get to the bottom of things and heal in the name of Yeshua. In the name of Yeshua, the great physician. Amen.
Amen. Is it not in there?
You need a vino?
Servant of the Lord.
And now the Lord says, he who formed Israel in the womb to be his servant, to bring Jacob back to him, and gather Israel to himself, for he is honored in the eyes of the Lord, and God has been his strength. Is it too small a thing for Israel to be my servant, to restore the tribes of Jacob, and bring back those of Israel he has kept? He will also make Israel a light for the Gentiles, that he may bring my salvation to the ends of the earth.
Be gracious, O Lord our God, to your people, Israel, and accept their prayer. Restore the worship of Israel to your saints.
ובכל מאודיך, והיו הדברים האלה אשר נוחים אצלך היום על לבביך, ושינת העם לבניך, ודיברת בהם בשבתך בביתך, ובלכתך בדרך, ובשכפך ובקומך, וקשרת העם להיות על ידיך, והיו לטוטפות בין עיניך, וכתבתם על מזוזות ביתך ובשעריך.
Hear, O Israel, the Lord is our God. The Lord is one. Blessed is the name of his glorious kingdom for all eternity. And you shall love the Lord your God with all of your heart, with all of your soul, and with all of your might, and have these words which I command you this day be upon your heart. And you shall teach them diligently to your children, and speak of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you retire, and when you arise. And you shall bind them for a sign upon your hand, and let them be frontlets between your eyes. And you shall write them on the doorposts of your house, upon your gates.
You know, I always say that when I retire, and then I keep coming back. What's up with that? All right, I'm going to ask Isaac and Greg to prepare yourselves to come and carry the Torah. Be prepared in season and out of season. Like good Boy Scouts or Girl Scouts or whatever they are. Cub Scouts. Mixed Scouts. Are the Boy Scouts going to start selling cookies now? Well, that might be a good thing that'll come out of it. I'm kind of I don't really like good Girl Scout cookies. Maybe the Boy Scouts will make better cookies now. בכל דור ודור.
אדוני מלך, אדוני מלך, אדוני ימלוך לעולם ועד, אדוני עוז לעמו ייתן, אדוני יברך את עמו בשלום.
There is nothing like you among the gods, O Lord, and there is nothing like your works. Your kingdom is an everlasting kingdom,
and your dominion is throughout all generations. The Lord reigns. The Lord has reigned. The Lord will reign forever and ever. The Lord will give strength unto his people. The Lord will bless his people with peace.
Okay, I need Wendell's shofar team up at the front, please. Let's go. Step to it. 1, 2. Hut, two. Hut, two. Hut, two. All right. I'm going to need you guys to stand up for Wendell because he's not here today, so we want to hear you blow it better than him. Can you do that? Can you beat Wendell?
No. Stand up here. Stand up here.
Oh,
Very good, Xavier and Billy. Good job.
Vayehi ben Soharom v'memer Moshe Kurna Adonai v'yafutsu oivecha v'yanusu misanecha mipanecha ki mitzion tetze Torah ki mitzion tetze Torah u'davar Adonai mi'Yerushalayim Baruch Shenatan Torah Torah Baruch Shenatan Torah Torah Le'amo Yisrael Bihikdushato.
When the ark would travel, Moses would say, Arise, O Lord, and let your enemies be scattered, and let them that hate you flee from you. For from Zion will go forth the Torah, and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. Blessed be he who in his holiness gave the Torah to his people Israel. And all God's people said,
Amen.
Amen and amen. All right. Ya'amod Asher ben Zedekiah, Baruch hu et Adonai hamavorah. Baruch Adonai Amrach Olam Vaed. Baruch Atah Adonai Eloheinu Melech Haolam Asher Bachar Banu Mikol Hamim V'Natan Lanu Et Torato. Baruch Atah Adonai Noten HaTorah. Amen. Bless the Lord, the Blessed One. Blessed is the Lord, the Blessed One for all eternity. Blessed are you, O Lord our God,
King of the universe,
who has chosen us from all peoples and given us his Torah. Blessed are you, O Lord, giver of the Torah.
Amen. You can be seated.
Please be seated.
Okay. This week we had the observance of Simchat Torah, which is the rewinding of the Torah. I just want to mention it just very briefly. And there's a scripture I want to read. It says, Gather the people together, men, women, and little ones, and the stranger who is in your gates, that they may hear and that they may learn to fear the Lord your God and carefully observe all the words of his Torah. And that concludes that with the Torah's rewound from the last book, Deuteronomy, back to the book of Genesis or Bereshit. It's interesting. I was looking at this, the last letter in Deuteronomy is Lamed, and the first letter in Bereshit is the Bet, and if you put those two letters together, you get Lev, which is heart. So God's word reflects his heart this morning. And we're studying, we're going to start back all over again. And, if you want to get more in-depth into it, let me invite you to the Torah class we have every other week. We can go, it's a bit longer because we don't have enough time. This one today, Genesis 1 through Genesis 6, covers from Adam, creation, all the way down to Noah. So it covers quite a few years, and there's just a bunch of stuff in there that God has for us. So today we just want to briefly cover the Torah portion called Bereshit, which is in the beginning. And, it's interesting, the first thing God did in creation was he said, let there be light. And I got to looking at that, and I realized, I wonder why the first utterance God gave in creation was light. Then I looked, light, everything benefits from light. If this was dark in here, we would probably have a problem. I'd probably fall or something. But, light is a hidden, it involves a hidden mystery or secret of something that I think is to come. Light, which is Ori in Hebrew, and secret, they bear the same geometric value. It's two opposites that are still connected. But, I got to study and look at it a little differently this week, and I realized when God says, let there be light, the sun, the moon, and the stars wasn't created until the fourth day. And I'm thinking, okay. When I was thinking of light, I was thinking of the sun, which is a light. But I think God is speaking of a different light when he says, let there be light. And he said it was good. Yeshua said, I am the light of the world. And, you know, that's what he says. I am the light. And God said, what I've created was good. You know, we're chosen to be the light of Yeshua. And believers that let their light shine, you can drive out darkness with your light, because darkness is the opposite of light. You know, the day and the night wasn't split until the fourth day. The book of Isaiah says the sun, there's a day coming when the sun shall no more be your light, and the moon shall not give you light at night, but the Lord shall be a light that is everlasting. It's not just a light of the sun or the moon. You know, God, in his creation, he set three elements in place. He set the world, he set mankind, and he set his Torah, because he spoke the word. God has given us humanity of free choice. We can ignore God, or we can follow his instructions. And unfortunately, if you read this Torah portion, you see that as time went along, when we get to the part about Noah, you'll see that the world became increasingly very wicked, and God regretted that he had made creation. You see, when God blew the breath of light into Adam, he blew the soul into his body. That's what he did. The other animals that God created, there's no scripture that says he blew his breath into them. It just says he created the animals. But with Adam, he blew his breath into Adam. And your soul is the deepest part of your body. It actually, your soul, I think, is the reason of creation. It was to create your soul for humanity. You see, the soul is the spark of God. Your soul can never lose its connection to God. It doesn't matter how evil you get or how far you run from God, your soul still has that eternal connection to God. Because he has said in his word that it doesn't matter if you're in heaven or hell, you will live eternally. And that's your soul. And it's hard to breathe. You know, when you talk about that, you know, when God blew into Adam, there was no obstruction. But, you know, it's hard to breathe if you have a cold and you've got congestion, because your air can't get to where it needs to be. And a lot of you have suffered from that. We also must be free from any type of obstruction in our lives. We must free our souls, and we must be free from all our negative thoughts, all the negativity that we have, our negative words, and the deeds that are negative that we create. When we do, our soul can shine more freely and reflect the heavenly light of the Heavenly Father and of Yeshua. You see, the Torah is more than just a children's storybook and a fable. That's what a lot of people think it is. And I know they have the little books that say Bible stories, but it's more than a story and it's more than a fable. You see, the Torah sheds light on the nature of humanity. It tells us about who we are. It also shares with us what we should mean to each other, and how we should treat each other, and how we should interact with each other. You see, God created Adam as a male, and all the other animals he created as female. And we find the purpose of life. God created in us the desire to emulate him. And when you emulate God and follow what his teachings are, you draw a lot closer to God, and he will draw close to you. That's why Adam and Eve, their relationship, Adam saw the relationship of the animals, and he desired a relationship. And so God created the woman, Eve. And so in that, it fulfills God's purpose, that we are to be a giver as he was and as she was, and also caring for each other as they cared for each other. It was the model for us to follow. As we, you know, man is not complete. He is incomplete without a mate, without a woman in his life, if he so desires to marry. And a woman the same way. If she is complete in marriage, then she would have a man that would be a part of her life. Again, for the caring and the sharing and the helper of each other. Not that Eve was not created as a lower level. That's why God took her out of his side, because she was going to be an equal partner to stand by his side. He didn't take it out of his back, she would have been behind him. Didn't take it out of his head, she would have been above him. Didn't take it out of his foot, she would have been below him. But he took her from his side, meaning that she is an equal, a helper, a co-helper, that is a caring and loving and a person. That's what God wants us to be, that they would be one as we are one today with Yeshua. Shabbat shalom.
Torah, Asher, Sam Moshe, Leif Nei, B'nai Israel, Alpi Adonai, Beyond Moshe.
This is the Torah that Moses placed before the children of Israel at the command of the Lord through Moses' hand.
To those who hold fast to her, and all who uphold her are blessed. Her ways are ways of pleasantness, and all her paths are peace. Cause us to be turned to you, O Lord, and we shall return. Renew our days as of old. Amen. You may be seated. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. I just want to welcome everyone. I think we're family here in the house today. Amen. I do want to welcome everyone online. Those of you who are first-time visitors online, please let us know how you like it. Send us a text and through Facebook or on the website, there's a place to contact us and let us know that you've been watching. So, and let us know how you like it. And we invite you to come and participate with us if you're in the area, if you're close by, and if you're not, we're happy to have you with us wherever you are in the United States or around the world. And it's great to have you join us today. So, and if you'd like to stay in touch with us and get all our updates and Rabbi's newsletters, there is a sign-up form online at www.forzionsake.org. So you can sign up for our newsletter there. You can either get it by mail or you can get it by email. Either way. And we also, if you're in the area, we'll send you updates on our events and everything that's going on. Do we have a lot of stuff going on here? Exciting events, always. So we don't want you to miss out on the things that are going on here that we're promoting and the projects that we're doing and the events that we're hosting. It's not just for our congregation; it's for the entire community. So we hope you will participate with us as we seek to build up Israel and seek to build our connection to Israel here in the Tri-Cities in the Southeast Tennessee, Southwest Virginia area. And right here is your connection to Israel. So please support Israel in your local work. And that's for Zion's Sake Ministries in Ar Yehuda Messianic Congregation. And we're located at 1128 New Hampshire Avenue in Bristol, Virginia. So that's it. All right, and now to our wonderful events that are coming up. Did everybody get a flyer? McKedem. All right, that's this Tuesday, And Rabbi was talking about it, but I want you guys to take your flyer. There's more out there, and share it with your friends. I believe I've sent it out on email, so take that email. It's so easy. At the bottom of the email, there's a little link, and it says share, to share with your friends, or share something like, or forward. I'm not exactly sure what the exact wording, but click on that link, and you can type in anybody's email that's interested, and just send it to them. And, you know, share it. I believe I put it up on Facebook yesterday. I'll try to put a few more links on there so that you don't miss it, but it's under the events at For Zion's Sake page. So you can take that event and share it with all your friends too. Okay? So Makedem, this is the hottest Israeli praise and worship band. They're based in Tel Aviv, and they're a group of young believers in the Messiah, Yeshua, and they're seasoned musicians, and they are right now, I think Anthony was saying, they're performing in Dallas right now at Dallas Theological Seminary, a big venue there, and they're coming here Tuesday, and after they're leaving us, they're going up to Liberty University. So do not miss this group. It is such a privilege that they have arranged to come. And we're doing this joint venture with Grace Point Church of God on Shelby Street. That's 1318 Shelby Street, Bristol, Tennessee, 37620. And you can go to the website and pick up the same flyer with the information. But please come out to Shelby Street Church of God in Bristol, Tennessee, Tuesday, October 17th.
What time?
7 o'clock.
7 o'clock.
7 o'clock p.m. And so, yes. Sure. Miss Madonna, so that everybody, because I'm not sure we've got you, come back up here and let me give you the mic and I'll let you say it one more time. I'm sorry, I should have done that. Yes, just and take the mic. Just stand right here so they can catch you.
Okay. First of all, I'm not a rabbi or Rebbetzin. I'm not saying this as a leader. I'm saying this as a fellow congregant. Come. Bring all your relatives and your friends. I've seen them a couple of times at the Messiah Conference. They are out of this world wonderful. If you miss this, you're going to be missing one of the best, most blessed experiences of your whole lives. They are really sent from heaven. They're wonderful.
Amen. All right.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, Miss Madonna.
You know, I was listening on the radio. Thank you, Madonna. I was listening on the radio to the Laura Ingraham program on talk radio here. I think it was Friday. And she was at Liberty University and speaking to 15,000 to 17,000 students. And so I imagine today they're playing for at least 5,000 to 10,000 students. And then they'll be playing for the chapel for somewhere between 10 and 17,000 students the morning after they play for us. So this is really, I mean, unusual. This is the Lord, you know, that they're coming to us. I you know, sometimes I, to get big name groups to come in is sometimes when I, you know, I struggle, you know, and this was easy. You know, they called me. So this is a blessing from the Lord, and all I can say is be there or be square.
Come dance with me. I plan on dancing.
Yeah, come dance with Diane, and don't worry about presentation dance. Just have fun, you know. Just come as you are.
Amen. All right,
Greg,
so
are you going to dance that night? Greg's a lover, not a dancer. Okay. All right, Mr. Hotshot.
Okay, you can YouTube it, MIQEDEM, YouTube it, and see some of their songs. We may take a clip of it, present a clip here in a few minutes if we have time. But go see their stuff on YouTube. They're all over the place. And then bring young people. Bring your friends from high school and bring the kids, because this is really a great thing. I've been inviting Isaac's friends from football and Joshua's friends, so hopefully they'll come. All right? Okay, so in your just two more things in your program, we've also got wonderful music. It's the Messianic Concert Series from Rabbi Joe Bell for the year. he's got us lined up. Okay, so Saturday, November 4th, that's right here. Deborah Klein Iantorno will be here leading us in worship, special worship. And so that's November 4th. You can put that on your calendar, and we'll have more information coming out on that. She's also a top-notch worship leader. And then, of course, all of you know Paul Wilbur, our favorite Paul Wilbur. He will be here Saturday, December 2nd. I believe that'll be an evening concert, not in the morning, right? Yes. Evening, Saturday evening. So it'll probably be at the Holiday, and we're still working on a place for that. So stay tuned. All right? And I just want to let you know that we are going to be planning some meetings, planning meetings coming up, so just stay tuned. I don't think it won't be this Saturday. I will have to look at the schedule. It'll either be the following in the next 2 weeks, either next Saturday or the following. So just stay tuned, and we're going to have some meetings to plan for the fall and for Hanukkah and the beginning of the year. Okay? Shalom, everyone, and I turn it back over to Rabbi.
Okay. So Tuesday night, McKedem, 7 p.m., Grace Point Church, Bristol, Tennessee. Look us up on our website. If you don't have information, www.forzionsake.org. The one in Tennessee, Virginia. The one in Bristol, Tennessee. The only one. The only real one. Just kidding. I don't know. There's other For Zion's Sakes out there. There's a lot of First Baptist churches, too. But, all right, let's pray. We're going to bring our tithes and our offerings to the Lord. And the Lord says that He loves, Paul says, He loves a cheerful giver. He loves a cheerful giver. So let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You for the opportunity to give back to You what is already Yours. And You tell us to give back. So we thank You, Lord, for the giver. We thank You for the gift. We pray that You multiply them 100-fold and bring a harvest in each person's life, Lord. Rebuke the devourer, Lord, and open the windows of heaven. Pour out a blessing too big to contain, I pray, in the name of Yeshua, the name of Yeshua. And we rebuke and we bind the strong man. Amen.
Trumpet in Zion.
go see where Josh is because his grandma's waiting for him.
Josh Bell, to the auditorium, please. To the backside. Josh Bell to the backside. Shalom, everybody watching on TV, on internet. We welcome you to Our Yehuda, Lion of Judah Messianic Synagogue. We're glad you're with us today. God bless you. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and be gracious to you. May the Lord give you peace in the name of Yeshua, the Prince of Peace. May the Lord heal you. May the Lord touch you and any disease, any sickness that you have, and anything that meet all your needs. May the Lord supply all your needs as he promises in his word. In Yeshua's name, and Psalm 23 says, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. I shall not want." Hallelujah.
Your dwelling place, O Lord Almighty. For my soul longs and even faints for you. For here are
I think that's the first time she's danced in probably about 5 years. Ever. Hallelujah. Healing is coming to you, Aja. How many of you know when you get up in worship in faith that healing comes? There's an anointing of healing when you clap your hands, when you stand up, and you offer up a praise, a sacrifice to Him. There is blessings that come up. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Praise the Lord. There shall be a highway in the desert for the redeemed of the Lord, and from the mountain. City to cleanse all the
Test one, two, okay. Praise the Lord. Somebody left the grape juice from Wednesday night, so I drank it. It was wine. praise the Lord. So I poured another glass 3 days ago, and here we go. No, just kidding. Baruch atah Adonai Eloheinu melech haolam borei pri hagafen. Amen. Blessed art thou, O Lord our God, King of the universe, who brings forth the fruit of the vine. And Yeshua, who said, I am the vine and you are the branches. Whoever abides in me will bear much fruit. Amen. And it was that Passover night, and Yeshua took the bread, the matzah, and Baruch atah Adonai Eloheinu melech haolam hamotzi lechem min haaretz. Amen. Blessed art thou, O Lord our God, King of the universe, who brings forth bread from the earth, and Yeshua the Messiah, the bread of life, who rose from the earth on the third day. Hallelujah. And as I said, Yeshua took the afikomen of Passover, and he broke it, which is the middle layer of three, on each Passover table. And he broke it and gave it to his disciples and said, this is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. Hallelujah. We invite all believers in Yeshua to come to the Shulchan Adonai, to the table of the Lord. You don't have to be a member of our congregation, but you just have to be a member of the body of Messiah. So I'm going to ask today if, let's see, Patricia, would you like to come and serve today? And Deborah, would you like to come? Okay. And thank you, Lord. So let's just prepare our hearts to come. And let's just bow our heads for a moment, close our eyes. If there's anyone here today that doesn't know Yeshua, that's Jesus' Hebrew name. If there's anyone here that doesn't know Yeshua, with all eyes closed and heads bowed, and if you're at home, you can do this too. If you don't know Yeshua, just raise your hand. Hallelujah. And if you raise your hand, you can simply, if you'd like to know Yeshua, just ask God, say, Dear God, I believe that you sent Yeshua to be my Messiah, my Savior, my once and final sacrifice, my atonement for all my sins. Lord, forgive me my sins and cleanse me, wash them away by the blood of Yeshua. Put my name in your book of life and come in, Holy Spirit, come dwell in me. Make me a new creation today. Make me a new creation today, Lord. In Yeshua's name, amen. Amen. If you prayed that at home and you meant it in your heart, then we believe that you have begun a relationship with the Lord. Please contact us, and we can help give you some information on what to do, how to grow in the Lord. And if you were a little shy, you didn't pray that, you can do what I did years ago, and I just said, God of Abraham and Isaac, Jacob, God of the Bible, show me who Yeshua, show me who Jesus is, and what if I need to know him, reveal that to me. And he will, and just leave it there. If you ask sincerely, God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, to show you who Jesus is, he will show you. and you just have to ask him, and you can ask him twice. You can ask him in your car, your bedroom, your shower, wherever, walking the dog. Ask him, and don't stop until he answers you. Amen. Come as you're ready.
Yes, I have loved you.
cease to shine. If the heavens fall crashing to the ground, only then will my love for you fail. I have loved you with an everlasting love, ever loved you. Yes.
L'chaim b'Yeshua, to life in Yeshua. Amen. Let's let the kids go down. And okay, we're gonna let the kids go down. Do we have teachers today? Oh, it's Billy's birthday? All right. Is it your birthday, Billy? He wants what?
That's why he wanted to come up to
me. But what does he want? Oh, today is Billy's birthday. How old are you, Billy? 19? 21? 9? Happy birthday. Let's give a round of applause for Billy. Huh? Yeah, sing a song. Who'd like to dance with Billy for his birthday? Well, sing a song for Billy's birthday. Diane, why don't you go down and sing? Go sing with him. Go dance with him. Today.
A long life.
Lonely
was he born back then, but he's been born again. Praise Yeshua for life.
Yeshua.
To Billy we wish a long life.
Not
only was he born back then, but he's been born again. Praise Yeshua for life. All the prophets have foretold us that the Son of Man set his people free. So Yeshua came among us so that we could live throughout eternity. Today is Billy's birthday.
To Billy we wish a long life.
Long life.
Not only was he born back then, but he's been born again. Praise Yeshua for
life. To
since we didn't prepare anything, maybe folks could take up a little afterwards, a little collection. Some who would take up a little collection for Billy's birthday? Patricia, see Patricia. Yeah. His brother will. Praise the Lord. What a good brother. Jacob and Esau. Cain and Abel. Hallelujah. You know, it's funny, you hear these expressions like raising Cain, you know, and that's where it comes from, you know, raising Cain, you know, that comes from the behavior of Cain. So when you raise Cain, you're up to no good. There's a lot of expressions like that in our language that we don't think about, like pandemonium, and comes from the false god Pan, which is when Yeshua, when Jesus was at Caesarea Philippi, and he was with his disciples, it's in Matthew 16, and he was with his disciples, and he asked Peter, he said, who do you say that I am? He was at a pagan shrine to the god, false god Pan. And Pan, looks like the image of Pan is like a goat with a human torso and head, and a goat's eyes in his paws. Funky. Anyway, so Pan. So they had a temple to Pan, and Herod, Philip, son of Herod, had a palace up there in Caesarea Philippi, named after Philip, the son of Herod, Herod Antipas, I believe, the Herod who built the temple, Herod the Great, I don't want to mess up my Herods, but that's my point is, so Yeshua was right there in that pagan place where they would sacrifice people, they would, you know, sacrifice, human sacrifice, and they did terrible things with the goats. The people did, they had goats dances, and it was kind of like Hollywood and all this stuff going on in the news right now with, it was just debauchery. And Yeshua said, who do you say that I am? He says, you are the Messiah, the Son of the living God. And against the backdrop of all that paganism, and Yeshua said, on this rock, not on Peter, and not on the rock of Caesarea Philippi, but on the rock, on the truth, that he's the Messiah. When Peter said, you are the Messiah, Jesus said, on this rock, on this truth, I will build my congregation, my assembly. And he wasn't building it on Peter. Peter isn't the foundation of it. He wasn't building it on Caesarea Philippi. He was building it on the truth, the rock, that he is the Messiah. He is the rock. Amen. So are we on Facebook? Are we on? Okay, well, hello, Facebook. God bless you. Welcome and shalom. And so... but anyway, so where we get the words pandemonium, panic, what else? What other words start with pan? Pandemic, pandemonium, panic, all come from that false god Pan and worship of that false god. But today... before I begin, I just want to say a couple things about the Torah portion. It was very interesting. So I was reading it yesterday. I noticed a few things. We're going to talk about the mystery of the temple and Sukkot, the mystery of Sukkot and the temple today. But I just want to say a couple things. If you go in Genesis... I noticed some things that, first of all, Cain was the son of Cain was the son of Adam and Eve, Cain and Abel. Do you know that Cain was a murderer? But God, even though he punished Cain and said he made it the ground harder for him to work the land and made it more difficult for Cain to bring forth fruits from the land, he spared his life, and he put a mark on Cain's head so that if anyone wanted to kill Cain, they saw the mark, that they would spare his life. Cain was the father of Enoch. Enoch was the most righteous man of his generation, and Enoch was so righteous, it says he walked with God every day, and Enoch, and God took him one day. It just says God, and God took him. Enoch lived so many years, and God took him. Enoch was Cain's son. Enoch was Cain's son. Isn't that interesting that the Bible says later on that the children's teeth will no longer be set on edge due to the sins of the fathers. But here we see it's almost as though, think about now, if Enoch was a righteous man, where do kids learn, get their spirituality from? Who do they get their spirituality from mostly? Father, right. Their fathers. They imitate their fathers. In life, they grow up. Some of you have spiritual mothers more than fathers, but if you have a spiritual father, let's just say parents. How many of you, receive your spiritual teaching, the majority of it, from your parents? Raise your hand. In life. Amen. Many of you. Okay. So Cain must have repented somehow. He might have repented to God and taught the ways of God to Enoch. Another interesting thing is talking in... So if you go to Genesis 3 for a second, I thought this was pretty interesting too, where God is dealing with the serpent and Eve and Adam, and the serpent tempted Eve. And Adam, of course, pointed out that it was his wife's fault. It was her fault. She did it. And so God punished her more than he punished Adam. But he said something interesting to the serpent. He said, on your belly, in verse 14, he says, because you have done this, cursed are you more than all cattle, more than every beast of the field. On your belly you shall go, and dust shall you eat all the days of your life. And I will put enmity, I'll put bitterness, between you and the woman. And the woman, really, this is the first messianic prophecy. The woman is Israel. We just saw a sign on September 23rd where the woman was in the sky who gave birth to the male child, which is a picture of Yeshua. And she had 12 stars over her head, 3 planets and 9 stars, representing the constellation Leo, and under her feet were the moon, and that's the fulfillment of John's vision in Revelation 12, chapter verse 1, was fulfilled on September 23rd, 2017, that constellation, and the moon was under the feet. Well, Nimrod, which was the father of paganism in the Bible, the father of paganism, the father of pagan religion. It was all moon worship. It was all moon worship, okay? They worshiped the moon, and of course later some of the Romans and the Greeks worshiped the sun as well, but then the Egyptians worshiped the sun too. But the moon, they worshiped the moon, Nimrod. Began moon worship, and a lot of these pagan cults worshipped the moon. Okay, so it's interesting. It says here, watch this. I shall put enmity between you and the woman. So he's saying to the serpent, to the devil, I'm going to put enmity, bitterness between you and Israel, and between your seed and her seed, and Satan's offspring are his demons, and he shall bruise you on the head. He shall bruise you on the head. He's saying to the woman, he shall bruise you, but you shall bruise him on the heel. So actually, he said to the woman, "He shall to the serpent, he shall bruise you on the head, and you shall bruise him on the heel." And to the woman he said, "I will greatly multiply your pain." So in other words, Israel would crush the head of the serpent, but the serpent would you know, bruise the heel of Israel, is what he's saying, is what it means. So again, the prophecy is that Israel, that the serpent, meaning the devil, would bruise the head. Israel would bruise the head of the devil, crush his head, but the serpent would bruise the heel. So if we move forward to Genesis 25, we see when at the birth of Jacob and Esau in verse 22, but the children struggled together within her and Rebekah, and she said, "If it is so, why then am I this way?" So she went to inquire of the Lord. The Lord said to her, "Two nations are in your womb. Two people shall be separated from your body, and one people shall be stronger than the other, and the older shall serve the younger. When her days to be delivered were fulfilled, behold, there were twins in her womb. Now the first came forth red, all like fiery, hairy garment, and they named him Esau. But afterward his brother came forth with his hand holding on to Esau's heel." There you go. You see the bruising of the heel. Israel is bruising the heel of the one who represents the devil. He's holding on to his heel. And Jacob is Israel. Amen? He is Israel. Every tribe came forth from the loins. You got to think about this. Every tribe of Israel, everyone who was ever an Israelite or a Jew, came forth from the loins of Jacob. And that Jacob was holding on to his brother's heel. And this is prophetic. And watch this. So it says, "Now the first came forth red all over like a hairy garment, and they named him Esau. And Jacob came forth, and his brother came forth with his hand holding to Esau's heel." So his name was called Jacob, and Isaac was 62 years old. So Jacob was holding the heel of his brother, and so it's interesting to see, you know, how these connections in the Bible. But let's go to, I just thought it was interesting too that Cain was, Enoch was the son of Cain. You just can't, you know, you might meet someone who's a nasty person, you know, a nasty family. I've met some really nasty, ugly families where, you know, the kids spend in and out of jail. You know, I know families, people that have worked for me, in and out of jail. People, they live with the parents, whatever, and even get the parents in trouble. You know, I've seen that before, and I've seen some really nasty. But you know what? Out of one of those families can come an Enoch. Out of one of those families can come a Billy Graham. Out of one of those families can come, you know, a Mother Teresa. You know, in other words, you just can't put God in a box. You just can't put God in a box. Okay, so let's. Today's message is the mystery of the temple. It took me, as I was meditating on this, the mystery of the temple and Sukkot. Now I know Sukkot ended a few days ago, but I was fascinated. And we saw this Wednesday. Those of you who are here Wednesday night, if you'll turn to Haggai, please. Turn to Haggai. Now, in Haggai, the Lord was upset with Israel. He was upset with Israel. Everybody say he was upset. He was upset with Israel because they had been in the land. He had sent them back from exile, and they weren't building his temple. He sent them back with a purpose, to free them and to build his temple. and they were not building it. And for 15 years, they were focusing on building their own homes. And Haggai lived around 520 BC. The return from exile was in 516 BC. And Haggai, whose name means my feast, isn't that interesting? My feast was the first prophetic voice to be heard after the Babylonian exile. He was a contemporary of Zechariah and of Confucius. Confucius say, listen to Haggai. And his ministry was to call the people to finish the temple, whose completion had been delayed for 15 years. These prophecies were given between August and December 520 BC, and the temple was completed 4 years later. Haggai likely returned to Jerusalem from Babylon with Zerubbabel, who was a descendant of King David, a direct descendant in the lineage of the king, and he was the governor of Judah. Zerubbabel was the governor of Judah. So I found it was interesting. So God was, I'm not going to go through the whole thing like I did the other night, but I'm just going to say this. Haggai, God was telling the people, you know, you build your houses, you build your paneled houses to dwell in, while my house lies desolate, he says in verse 4. He says in verse 6, you have sown much, but you harvest little. You eat much, but there's not enough to be satisfied. You drink, but there's not enough to become drunk. You're never satisfied, and you're always running short, God says to them. No one is warm enough, and he who earns wages to put into a purse with holes. Thus says the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. Consider your ways. Go up to the mountains, bring wood, and rebuild the temple, that I may be pleased with it and be glorified, says the Lord. And you know, you feel, as you get the impression that God is really angry with the people. And he goes on and he says, you look for much, but behold, it comes little when you bring it. Verse 9, I blow it away. Why, declares the Lord of hosts? Because my house, which lies desolate, with each of you runs to his, well, each of you runs to his own house. Therefore, because of you, the sky has withheld its dew, and the earth has withheld its produce. So we have drought. The West is burning. The West is burning. There's drought in the Middle East. There's drought and famines all over the world. Why? Because we're not doing God's word. People aren't keeping God. It's not because of global warming. There's no such thing as global warming. People just, they're not keeping God's word. God says, I called for a drought on the land because you're not building my house. And the grain is burning, the new wine, the oil, and the vineyards are burning in California. Out west, fires in Montana and other states where there's grain, they grow some of the finest wheat out there, is burning. Famine and on the ground produces drought on the ground, on what the ground produces, on men, on cattle, and all of the labor of your hands. And the people, in verse 12, Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, Joshua, the son of Jehozadak, the high priest, with all the remnant of the people, obeyed the voice of the Lord their God, the words of Haggai the prophet, as the Lord their God had sent to him. And the people showed reverence for the Lord. Then Haggai, the messenger of the Lord, spoke by the commission of the Lord to the people, saying, I am with you. So you see, God's judging the people. He's bringing drought. He's destroying the crops. He's telling the people have holes in their pockets. Their money is slipping away. They can't pay their bills. All their prosperity is you know, disappearing. And then all of a sudden, in the midst of this, God says, verse 13, the Lord spoke to the people saying, I'm with you, declares the Lord. I haven't forsaken you. Even though I've punished you, I'm with you. Everybody say, I'm with you. So the Lord stirred up the spirit. The Lord did it. The Lord stirred up the spirit of Zerubbabel, the governor, the son of Shealtiel, governor of Judah, and the spirit of Joshua, the son of Jehozadak, the high priest, and the spirit of the remnant of the people. And they came and worked on the house of the Lord of hosts of their God on the 24th day of the sixth month in the second year of Darius the king. Then it goes on. Now, Wednesday night when I preached the message on Haggai, which means my feast, my feast. Let me see that here. It says Haggai means, yeah, my feast. And I didn't know that Wednesday. When the Lord put it on my heart to preach this a message Wednesday night on Haggai, in chapter 2, when I spoke this message on Wednesday, the first part of this message, I said, on the 21st of the seventh month, the word of the prophet of the Lord came by Haggai the prophet. The 21st of the seventh month was Wednesday night. And that's when God had me bring this message. I didn't know it until I preached it. I hadn't looked up that date. And I looked up the date when I was sitting here with our biblical calendars, our beautiful biblical calendars. And if anybody would like to get one, they have scripture verses. And this is my shameless plug for our calendars. But they all have pictures of Israel, and they have beautiful scriptures, and they have the feasts and all the dates of the Bible. I love this picture here of the Dead Sea. Isn't that pretty? So we have calendars. You can get them, I think, for $16 online. I will ship them to you if you go to our website, or you can get them here, too, without shipping. I think they're $13. But anyway, so I looked in the calendar Wednesday night, and I said, that's today. Chapter 2, verse 1 is today, on Wednesday. And it said, on the 21st of the seventh month, the word of the Lord came by Haggai the prophet, saying, speak now to Zerubbabel, son of Shealtiel, governor of Judah, and to Joshua, the son of Jehozadak, the high priest, and to the remnant of the people, saying, who is left among you who saw this temple in its former glory? Who saw this temple in its former glory? When who saw this synagogue, this congregation in its former glory? You know, when it was packed wall to wall, and when we had kids in every time. We still have lots of kids, but we had even more kids. You know, who remembers those days? Who remembers when we had concerts and people were standing room only with Paul Wilbur and Marty Goetz and Zimmer Lvov and just huge crowds. Anybody, raise your hand if you remember those days. Praise the Lord. Look around you. I mean, so God says, who is left among you who saw this temple in its former glory? And how do you see it now? Does it not seem to you like nothing in comparison? He's talking about the temple at Jerusalem. Now take courage, everybody. Everybody say, take courage. Zerubbabel, declares the Lord, take courage also, Joshua, son of Jehozadak, the high priest, and all you people in the land, take courage, declares the Lord, for I am with you, declares the Lord of hosts. As for the promise which I made and with you, my spirit is abiding in your midst. Do not fear. And it says that God stirred up the spirit of the people, and he stirred up their spirit to rebuild his house. And they had taken their focus off the Lord and off of what was important to him. And, compare that to the Roman centurion in Luke 7, who was not even a Jew, but he built the synagogue in Capernaum for the Jews. Particularly, he did it in Capernaum. That's where Yeshua, where Jesus lived. That's where Peter's mother-in-law lived, and several of the disciples lived in Capernaum, and the Messiah lived there. And this Roman centurion, who wasn't even a Jew, he built the temple. Isn't that something? He wasn't even Jewish. And he built the temple. He probably used Romans to help him do it, and Jews. You know, he built the temple for the Jews, and when his servant was sick, he called to he asked the elders of the temple, and they went running to Yeshua, to Jesus, and they said, this man built our synagogue and his servant is sick. And Yeshua just immediately started going to the man's house. And the man said, no, Lord, don't come to my house. I'm not worthy to have you in my house. Just say the word and it'll be done. And Yeshua said, he marveled, the Bible says in Luke 7. He marveled. He said, this greater faith I have not seen in all Israel. The man with the greatest faith in the Bible was a Gentile, was a Roman centurion. A Roman centurion, and he wasn't Jewish, but notice he's the man with the greatest faith. What was his focus? What did he do that made him so? Not only did he have faith, but what act did he do that caused Yeshua to not say even the dogs? It's not fitting to give the children's food to the dogs. But to run to this guy's house. What did he do? He built the temple. He built God's temple. He was God-focused. Everybody say he was God-focused. When you're God-focused, you're going to focus on God's work and God's house. You know, you're going to focus. If unless you have, you work for, Samaritan's Purse, or you work for some big ministry out there, Jonathan Burness, Jewish Voice Ministries, the Joseph Project or the MJAA. Unless you work for a ministry, your ministry, your focus is, or my focus has always been my congregation. Amen? Isn't that where your focus is? If you don't work for a ministry, where do you focus? When I wasn't working in a ministry, my focus was where I attended church or synagogue. Amen? Amen. You know, and I've said that this house that I thank God that we have a house. We have our own synagogue. Many don't. Many Messianic congregations meet in rental places. Then they rent in from churches and they borrow. And we own our own building. But where is our building? What condition is our building? What condition is our property? We don't even have a bathroom for our fellowship hall. What are we doing to fix it? What are we doing to make our synagogue more beautiful? We're putting up banners, but are we really putting our heart and soul into it? Are we really raising money to? We need new carpets. The carpets are getting some frayed. We need new carpet. We could brighten this place up, change the lighting, and really spiff it up. What are we doing? Not a whole lot. Not a whole lot. But here's the good news. God says, here's what God says. First of all, he says, if you're experiencing drought in your life, here's his answer. I'm with you. Take courage. If you're experiencing personal drought in your life, maybe you should focus on the house of the Lord instead of your own house. I'm with you. I love you. Take courage, God says. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
Take courage. I'm with you, God says. But, there's a but. Focus on my house. Build my house. Make my house beautiful. You know, I'm not a gardener, but I have envisioned, and I like they did it up the street, just out front, rose bushes or what are those fall mums? Yeah, just mums. Lots of mums on both sides for the fall. You know, I've envisioned that. You know, and I'd love to see, somebody take the initiative, and we'd pay for it. We have money, set aside for building projects. Some money, we have like $7,000 or $8,000. But the point is, it's the heart. It's the heart. You know, we don't even have a sign. We have a banner outside. We've had a banner for 5 or 6 years. You know, does anybody have a burden to see us have a sign? You know, some folks are new, and that's, you know, I'm not talking to you, but you know, I'm just challenging you. I'm not coming down. God loves you. God's with you, and God is he says take courage. You know, God's not going to spank you, you know. But if you are experiencing drought, look at the Roman centurion. I'm talking to you folks at home too. Look at the Roman centurion, and build the house of the Lord. Build the house. This may not be your house of the Lord. You may have another house of the Lord somewhere. Build your house of the Lord. You know, if you want to make a donation to this one, we would be blessed. But build the house of the Lord. Amen. Make it a priority. It's awfully quiet. Hallelujah. God's not angry. But if you don't want to see personal drought, and I don't, so I have had zeal for the Lord to build his house. I have in the 18 years of ministry that I've been here, my zeal has been for the house of the Lord. I have been very zealous, and I feel very confident in saying to everybody and to the folks on TV, for 18 years that I've been a rabbi, I have had I've been zealous for the house of the Lord. Zealous. You know, my struggle has been resources and people to do things. You know, carpenters, plumbers, electricians, masons, helpers, workers, you know. And there's times when we've had people like that, but, you know, this is a reflection. And God's not just talking to you. He's talking to everybody, the whole community. He's saying, this is the synagogue of Capernaum, okay? This is the synagogue of Capernaum right here. God's looking for a Roman centurion out there to look at the synagogue of Bristol and say, you know what? We can do better than that. We can do better. God's looking, he's looking for a Roman centurion out there in Bristol or in Johnson City or in Jacksonville, Florida, or in Midland, Texas, or in Tulsa, Oklahoma, or in West Palm Beach, Florida, or Orlando, or in Chicago. He's looking for a Roman centurion to say, hey, we can do better. We can do better than this. He's looking for a Roman centurion. Amen? And it was interesting that chapter 2 that we read this. When do we read it? On the very day, Wednesday night, on the last and greatest day of the feast. Is that cool? That was amazing. If you were here, we read this chapter, and I spoke this word on the very day that God said it, on the last and greatest day of the feast, which was Wednesday night it started, and it was the 21st day of the 7th month. Was Wednesday night. Was Hoshana Rabbah. So there's a connection between the temple and the Feast of Sukkot. There is a connection between the temple and the Feast of Sukkot. And so I looked up some other connections between the temple and the Feast of Sukkot. So if you turn to Nehemiah 8, I love that chapter of Haggai because God's so loving. You know, he says he's going to stir up the hearts of the people to do it, you know. But he chastises them lovingly, but then he says, I'm with you. Take courage. I think that's just really awesome. You know, that's the way we should treat. Sometimes we have to discipline our children. Sometimes we have to discipline employees. And we should do it in a loving way. You know, people need discipline. Some people, you know, they break the law. I said one message recently, I said, God is legalistic. Just break his law and find out. Look at Mr. Weinstein. Break God's law and find out what happens to you. Break it enough. I mean, you know, he's a famous person. I just use that as an example. But there's a lot of people doing that stuff besides him. Anyway, so Nehemiah 8, and all the people gathered as one man at the square, which was in front of the water gate. They struggled to rebuild the wall, and the wall was in of the temple outside of Jerusalem was in shambles. And they had rebuilt the wall, and all the people gathered as one man. Everybody say, as one man. They were in unity, total unity, in front of the water gate, and they asked Ezra the scribe to bring the book of the law, the Torah of Moses, which the Lord had given to Israel. Then Ezra the priest brought the Torah before the assembly of men, women, and all who could listen with understanding on the first day of the seventh month, that's on Rosh Hashanah, and he read it from before the square, which was in front of the water gate, from early morning until midday in the presence and men who could understand, and all the people were attentive to the book of the Torah. Ezra the scribe stood at a wooden podium which they had made for the purpose, and beside him stood Mattathiah, Shema, Ananiah, Uriah, Hilkiah, and so on. And verse 5 says, Ezra opened the book in the sight of all the people. And it says in verse 6, then Ezra blessed the people and the Lord, the great God, and all the people answered, Amen, Amen, while lifting up their hands. Then they bowed low and worshipped the Lord with their faces to the ground. At verse 8 says, they read from the book, from the Torah of God, translating it to give sense that they understood the reading. In other words, the people had been living in Babylon. They had forgotten to speak Hebrew, so they were speaking Babylonian or Chaldean, whatever, and so they had to translate it for them so that many of them would understand. Verse 9, then Nehemiah, who was the governor, and Ezra, the priest, and the scribes, and the Levites, who taught the people, said to all the people, this day is holy to the Lord your God. Do not mourn or weep, for all the people were weeping when they heard the words of the Torah. They heard the condemnation of God. Then he said to them, go eat of the fat and drink of the sweet and send portions to him who has nothing prepared, for this day is holy to our Lord. Do not be grieved, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. For the joy of the Lord is your strength. So the Levites calmed all the people, saying, be still, for this day is holy. Do not be grieved. All the people went away to eat and drink, to send portions, and to celebrate a great festival, because they understood the words which had been made known to them. Then on the second day, the heads of the fathers' houses of all the households of the people, the priests and the Levites, were gathered to Ezra the scribe, in sight of the, that they might gain insight into the words of the Torah. They found written in the Torah, the law, how the Lord had commanded through Moses the sons of Israel should live in booths during the feast of the seventh month. They found written in the law how the Lord had commanded, this is verse 14, through Moses, that the sons of Israel should live in booths and sukkahs during the feast of the seventh month. We can turn the fans off, I think, Carol. Please. So they proclaimed and circulated a proclamation in all their cities and in Jerusalem, saying, go out to the hills and bring olive branches and wild branches, myrtle branches, palm branches, and branches of other leafy trees to make booths, as it is written. So the people went out and brought them and made booths for themselves, each on his roof and on their courts and in their courts of this house of God and the courts of the house of God and in the square at the water gate and at the square at the gate of Ephraim. They were making Sukkot booths everywhere. The people gathered the leaves of the myrtle and the willow and the olive tree and the palm tree. The entire assembly of those who had returned from the captivity made booths and lived in them. The sons of Israel had indeed not done so from the days of Joshua, the son of Nun, all the way back to Moses. And there was great rejoicing. You see, when we do God's word according to his pattern, have we been talking about patterns? You know, we've been teaching on the pattern of the feast. Every time I teach on the feast, I've talked about the glory falling when we follow his pattern. Okay? And so they followed his pattern. And what happened? They hadn't celebrated it. They had such an incredible time. It's the joy of the Lord. And it says, verse 18, he read from the book of the Torah of God daily from the first day to the last day. And they celebrated the feast 7 days. And on the eighth day, there was a solemn assembly according to the ordinance. But they had great rejoicing. Verse 17, there was great, great rejoicing. And, I just think that's, you know, that this is such a beauty. It's the mystery, you know. So there's a connection to the temple. Here we are. Nehemiah is completing the final touches on the temple. He's building the wall around the temple and around Jerusalem, right? Nehemiah and Ezra building the wall around the temple. And God's, when he finishes, what do they celebrate? Sukkot. Amen. And then and what is God frustrated in Haggai about? It's Sukkot, and they're not working on the temple. They haven't been working on it. That's what God's frustration is. And then let's look in 2 Chronicles. I'm almost done. I'm not going to go very long today. Second Chronicles, chapter 2. Remember, when Moses received the instructions to build the tabernacle, he says he did it everything according to the pattern that God gave him on the mountain. Amen? He did everything according to the pattern that God gave him on the mountain. Hallelujah. Praise God. Okay, 2 Chronicles chapter 2. Okay. All right, so Solomon is gathering all the things that King David needed from God, that God had shown King David to build the temple. Okay? And the last thing it says is and this is really neat. In verse 17 of chapter 2, Solomon numbered all the aliens, the Gentiles, who were in the land of Israel following the census which his father David had taken, and 153,600 were found. He appointed 70,000 of them to carry loads, and 80,000 to quarry stones in the mountains, and 3,600 supervisors to make the people work. There were 100. Solomon conscripted 153,600 foreigners, not Jews, to help build the temple. And they were there when he dedicated the temple. And we'll see that in chapter 5 and 7. You know, that's part of the pattern. Jew and Gentile. Amen? That's part of the pattern. So they were there. There were 153,000. How many fish were in Peter's net when he couldn't catch a fish? And then Yeshua said to him, try casting on the other side. How many fish did he catch? 153, not 153,000, 153. But there's something about that number, 153. And I know it has a meaning. We'll find out what the meaning of that is. But I think there's a connection there. So let's turn to chapter 5 here. Thus all the work that Solomon performed for the house of the Lord was finished. And Solomon brought all the things that David his father had dedicated, even the silver and the gold, and all the utensils, and put them in the treasuries of the house of God. Then Solomon assembled to Jerusalem the elders of Israel and all the heads of the tribes. And it goes on, and all the men of Israel assembled themselves, verse 3, to the king at the feast that is in the seventh month. Oh my goodness. The temple is finished, and it's the feast in the seventh month. Then all the elders of Israel came up, and the Levites took up the ark. They brought the ark and the tent of meeting and all the holy utensils. In verse 6, and King Solomon and all the congregation of Israel who were assembled with him before the ark were sacrificing so many sheep and oxen that they could not be counted. Let me tell you something about the feast, guys. You know why they had so many sacrifices? It said they had so many sacrifices that they could not be counted. They couldn't, or numbered. Do you know why there are so many more sacrifices on God's feasts? Because how many services do we have? A lot more than normal, right? So God is looking, a sacrifice is an offering, right? So God is looking for more offerings. Not just money. He's looking for people to show up. He's looking for people to pray. He's looking for offerings of praise. He's looking for offerings of dance. He's looking for offerings of worship. He's looking at hearts to see if more people will come to the feast. That's the pattern. That's his pattern. Amen? He's watching. He's watching everybody, you know. He's watching everybody. That's the pattern of the glory. We want the glory to fall, right? There's a feast connection. There's a feast. Let's read on. So we're up in verse 20 here. Then it says in chapter 5, thus all the work that Solomon performed for the house of the Lord was finished. We were in, okay, verse 7. And then so, and it says, we move on down a little bit. Okay, in verse 11, when the priests came forth from the holy place, for all the priests who were present had sanctified themselves without regard to divisions, and all the Levitical singers, Asaph, Heman, Jeduthun, and their sons and kinsmen, clothed in fine linen with cymbals, harps, and lyres, standing east of the altar with them, 120 priests blowing trumpets in unison with one voice. And it says, when the trumpeters and the singers were to make themselves heard with one voice, how many were there? It says, we had all the Levitical singers, Asaph, Heman, Jeduthun, and their sons and kinsmen clothed in, I don't know how many, with cymbals, harps, and lyres, standing east, 120 trumpeters from the priests, and they were all in unison. And when the trumpeters and the singers were to make themselves heard with one voice, in other words, they were so together. They were in such unity that it came out as one voice. In John 17, Yeshua, Jesus prayed. He said, Father, I am in you and you are in me. And I pray that just as we are one, that they may be one. Perfected in unity, he says in John 17, that they may be one, perfected in unity. Perfected in unity. Why? So that the world might believe. What's the real temple of God? I mean, we want the house is a reflection of the spiritual condition of the temple. We are his temple. We are the temple of God. But if we're not in one voice, And if we're not in unity, I'm not just talking to you, I'm talking out there. If we're not in one voice, especially on his feast, so there's here's the pattern of glory, Jew and Gentile, on the feast, worshiping together with one voice, rejoicing, making his house beautiful. Amen. And offering more sacrifices, working hard. That means putting your back into it. Miss Aja danced today. She put her back into it. Younger women didn't get up and dance, but she did. She's in her 70s. She's had hip surgery, foot surgery, knee surgery. And women, younger women who could, who, you know, I'm not condemning you. I'm just saying, and for, you know, no, nobody's being pointed out or anything, you know. But the point is, you know, people who could have much more easily danced didn't get up, but the Spirit moved her to get up and get out there and move. Amen? Not now, honey. So this is the pattern. If we want Jew and Gentile celebrating God's feast, if we don't come together, Yeshua said in John 10:14, this is the mystery. He said to a bunch of Jewish guys during the feast in John 10, it was right around Hanukkah time, and Hanukkah is actually this feast. How many of you know that? Hanukkah is actually Sukkot. You see, Hanukkah, Sukkot, it falls around October, right? It's in the seventh month. But the temple, when the pagans, when the Syrians controlled the temple, hang with me. Remember, Antiochus desecrated the temple, and he put the lamp out, and he put a pig on the altar, and he made an idol to Zeus. You all remember that? And so they couldn't have Sukkot. They couldn't have Sukkot. So when did they have it? On Kislev 25th. They cleansed the temple. They had kicked out the Syrians. And they rededicated the temple on Kislev, which is the 10th month on the biblical calendar. And what do? They lit the lampstand again because the light had gone out. And they celebrated for 8 days. And that's where we get Hanukkah. They dedicated the temple. They rededicated. Everybody say they rededicated. They rededicated the temple. Solomon's temple. Isn't that awesome? Actually, not Solomon's. Ezra's temple. Ezra, the temple that came, the first temple was destroyed. So when Ezra and the children of Israel came back and they rebuilt, you know it as Herod's temple, okay? You all know it as Herod's, but it was Ezra and the sons of Israel who came back from exile that really built that temple, okay? They rededicated it on Hanukkah, which means dedication. Everybody say dedication. Hanukkah means dedication. Now, is Hanukkah... It's a funny thing. Here we are in 2 Chronicles, dedicating the temple, and everybody's worshiping with one voice. How can they have one voice? There's hundreds of them, thousands. But they're all in unity. That's what God wants. In John 10, he says, he's talking to Jews at Hanukkah. And he's telling his Jewish disciples at Hanukkah, I have sheep from another fold that you know not of, and I must bring them too, and together, as one, you'll be one flock with one shepherd. And that's the church. But he's not talking about molding them in necessarily, like doing away with the Jews and making them part of the church. What he's saying is, there's going to come a day when there's going to be a messianic Jewish fold, and there's going to be a Gentile fold, the church and the messianic Jews, and I want you guys to come together like we're doing with Makedem. I don't even have a poster up here. We're having Makedem come Tuesday night. I want you to come together and worship me together. So God's called some of you who are from the out of the church to come here, one from a town, two from a city. Amen? That's the way he does it, you know, one from a town, two from a city. You know, he calls us here, and don't feel bad about being a non-Jew in a Jewish house because there was a court of the Gentiles in the temple. Amen? So, you know, if God's called you here, it's because you're welcome here, and he wants you here. You know, I had nothing to do with it. I didn't. How many of you did I call up and tell you, come on down? You know, did I call anybody and say, you know, I'll give you $5 to come and worship? Raise your hand if I did. You know, you. Why did you show up? God called you. Amen. And I'd like to hear your testimonies. We can do that someday, have testimonies, how God called you to it. You know what I'm saying? We'd love to do that, but not, we don't have time right now. But God, that's the answer. God called you. Amen. So we're at feast time. We're dedicating the temple. And the glory. Let's turn to chapter 7. And they're worshiping God with one voice, Jew and Gentile. And it says in chapter 7, verse 1, now when Solomon had finished praying, fire came down from heaven and consumed the burnt offering and the sacrifices, and the glory of the Lord filled the house. Praise God. Jew and Gentile celebrating the feast in unity, worshiping together, offering sacrifices beyond numbering. And so, I mean, just amazing. And they're worshiping with one voice in unity, Jew and Gentile, just like we sang the song. Jew and Gentile, one in Messiah, one in Yeshua, one in the olive tree. That's what God's after, our unity. He says, Father, as I am in you and you are in me, I pray that they be one, perfected in unity, he says. Perfected in unity, Jew and Gentile, so that the world might believe. You want to see revival, folks, out there in TV land and in the world? Y'all want to see revival? When Jew and Gentile, when the church comes together and isn't threatened by the Messianic Jews, and when Messianic rabbis aren't threatened by pastors or have issues with churches. I mean, listen, there is false doctrine out there. But we should, if we can agree on the basics, and as long as we're, you know, of the gospel, and we can, you know, we may, some you know, I think it's silly to argue about things like speaking in tongues or you know, some things, if people who say you're not saved unless, and it's not, if a church says you're not saved unless you do so-and-so other than believe in Jesus, then that's a cult. Any church that tells you you're not saved because of your baptism or because you don't speak in the tongues or whatever, that's a cult. The only thing you have to believe in is the Messiah. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever would believe in him would not perish but have everlasting life. Amen? That's what unites us. Right? That's what, but a group that doesn't believe that, if a group says, if you're not baptized in the name of the name of Jesus, you're not a real believer. Or if you're not a member of our church, you're not a believer, you're not saved. Okay, there's a really big church in Rome that's, if you're not a member of their church, that Roman church with their own country, it starts with a V, you're not saved, okay? All right? And you can't come to the Lord's table, take the Eucharist, you know, oh, let it out. Okay, so, okay, are you starting to see the picture here? Okay, one. Couple last scriptures, John 10:22. So Hanukkah was the feast, was Sukkot, celebrated 3 months late. Why? Because the Syrians had overtaken the temple, and the Jews were forbidden to celebrate the feast. So what did they do? They waited 3 months. And then, is Hanukkah for real? Well, John 10:22. At that time, the feast. This is funny. I just want to say this. Here we see a holiday explained to us in the New Testament that Jews celebrate and most Christians don't, but it's in the New Testament, a book that most Christians read and Jews don't. Okay? I'll say that again. Here we see a holiday that Jesus did. He teaches us to do it. He did it. And Christians read the book. Jews celebrate it, and Christians don't. Okay? At that time, the Feast of Dedication took place at Jerusalem. That's Hanukkah. It was winter, and Jesus was walking in the temple in the portico of Solomon. Jesus walked. It was winter time. Let me tell you, it gets to be in the 30s in Israel. From Galilee to Jerusalem in the desert at nighttime, it can get down into the 20s and 20s and 30s, sometimes very cold. He walked at least about 80 miles each way to get there. Okay? That's like a king taking his signet ring, putting it in hot wax, and saying, "This feast is kosher. I put my approval." That's God saying the Lord was celebrating Hanukkah. So even though Hanukkah isn't in the Old Testament, Jesus celebrating it is God putting his stamp on it. And what Hanukkah really is Sukkot celebrated 3 months late. That's what it is. They were dedicating the temple. Revelation 7. And here's the final dedication. Verse 9. After these things I looked, and behold, a great multitude, which no one could count, from every nation and all tribes and peoples and tongues, standing before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed in white robes, and palm branches were in their hands. It was Sukkot. And they cry out with a loud voice, saying, "Salvation to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb." And all the angels were standing around the throne and around the elders and the four living creatures. And they fell on their faces before the throne and worshiped God, saying, "Amen, blessing and glory and wisdom, thanksgiving and honor and power and might be to our God forever and ever. Amen." And thus God dedicated his temple in heaven on Sukkot, the Feast of Dedication. Please stand. I want to bless you. Think of the Roman centurion. Pray for our synagogue. Pray for our community. Make it a priority. I exhort you to make this a priority in your life. Many of you do. Don't get me wrong. Many of you do. And many who aren't here make it a priority. And I fault no one. Some people live hundreds of miles away. There's people, members of this congregation, people, you know, who live hundreds of miles from here. They can't come every week. They watch us online. I get it. Some people are sick. Some people are taking care of elderly parents. I get it. You can't make it. I understand. But for those who know, people, when I say this, when I exhort you lovingly and say, take courage, God is with you. But I exhort you, not only build the physical house, but let's worship. What can you do? You can go out in your circle of friends and say, "Hey, come celebrate the feast." You can go out in your circle of friends and you can say, "Hey, come to McKedem Tuesday night." Or come see Deborah Klein Iantorno, who's going to be here. She's amazing. You're going to love her. I mean, if you liked Corey Bell, you're going to love Deborah Klein when she comes on November 4th from California. She'll be flying into Charlotte and with her husband Vince. So, you know, you can build God's house, not just the physical house. The physical house is a manifestation of the spiritual house. If we're doing our job building his spiritual house, and whatever you can do to bring unity between Jew and Gentile, whatever you can do, maybe it's a widow's mite. Maybe you can do more. But look in your own hearts and ask God, how can I build your house? And are you experiencing drought? Are you experiencing personal drought? Maybe his answer is, there's either two answers the Bible gives. You're either not focusing on his house or his kingdom. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Or you're not tithing. That's the only reason you'd be experiencing personal drought. Amen. That's what the Bible says. Okay. And the Lord said to Moses, tell Aaron that this is how you shall put my blessing upon the people. Yivrechech Adonai v'yishmarecha. Yaher Adonai panaveilecha v'chunecha. Yisa Adonai panaveilecha. Vayasem lecha shalom. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. May the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you shalom, give you peace. In the name of Yeshua the Messiah, our soon coming King and Prince of Peace. Amen. Roman centurions, arise. Hallelujah. Shabbat shalom. Praise God. Hallelujah. Do we have... God bless you all at home. Thank you for watching today. And if anybody, if we can... does anybody need prayer? All right. I think, is there food next?